I'm hoping that I wrote this out. I don't usually write out what I have to say, but I did today because it's fairly emotional to me, and might have to have Ben come up here and finish reading it for me. But it was really good for me to think about the seasons of prayer in my life. And I divided it kind of just to help me talk about it into sort of four seasons, but they all overlap. Like the first season is still here, but then I added the second kind of, that kind of thing. So I also brought my handkerchief, which I'm going to get out because I might need it. I was fortunate to be born into a home where prayer surrounded me. When I got up in the morning and walked downstairs, I saw my dad kneeling in front of a chair on our living room in our living room praying. And at breakfast, we sang a hymn that was often a prayer. My mother prayed for me and my siblings as we left to go to school each morning, and I ate at a table that had a world map with photos of missionaries behind me, and we prayed about for them after dinner each night. We had family devotions where we memorized scripture, and I heard my parents pray. At night, my mother tucked me in with a back rub, a prayer, and a song. I mention this because as I talk about the seasons of prayer in my life, I want to encourage you that your prayers are helping others in addition to yourself. Not only what you pray about, but as people observe you, you are creating an atmosphere of prayer for those who see you, not just your children or your spouse, but others who observe you praying before a meal in a restaurant, in a hospital or doctor's waiting room, or just as you pray for your neighbors. And I think that's an important part of prayer. The first season of prayer in my life I call the Lord, use your power to help me phase. These prayers are centered on me and my needs alone. When I was 4, I realized at a Bible club that I was a sinner and not bound for heaven. I asked God to forgive my sins because I didn't want to be separated from my parents, and I was certain they were going to heaven. I had little thought about who God was, except as a powerful being who could fix my problems. When I was about 9 or 10, I remember I was waiting for a school bus to take me to a band rehearsal. A group of about 6 kids caught this school bus each morning, and it took us to the high school where we had a band rehearsal. I was late that morning, so I ran really fast to get there, and when I arrived, no one else was there. I was certain that I had missed the bus, and so I prayed. I prayed earnestly that God would send that school bus to me. After several minutes of contemplating how much trouble I was going to be in with my band teacher because I had missed the bus, I heard it approach. This is the first time that I remember believing that God had answered a prayer of mine specifically. I understood God's power at that time, but I had little thought for my place in his purposes. During this period of time, I prayed with my family at mealtimes, and whenever others led in prayer. I would pray when I was scared or felt inadequate for a situation or when an adult asked me to pray, but I did not routinely pray during this period of my life. However, I was surrounded by people of prayer, and I had a sense that God was always available to me, but I did not live in his presence in any meaningful way. I don't want you to think that I think this type of prayer is not important to God. I think it is. We as his children cry out to him in our need, unable to view anything beyond our fear or our great inadequacy. The psalmists often pray like this. O Lord, I call out to you. Come quickly. I cry out to you, Lord. I lift my voice up to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. I love the words the psalmist used in Psalm 103 about God. He says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And then he says, why? For he remembers how we are formed. He knows that we are dust. And I think God is thinking that towards us even as we pray to him. He knows where we are. He knows we're dust. He knows our frailty. A second season of my life I call the Lord, use your power to do good things, as I define them. I think of this season of prayer started when I was an adolescent and I came into thinking abstract thoughts. I had learned about God and his ways, and so I took into account what I thought he would want in my prayers. I knew God wanted all men to come to repentance, so I prayed for other people. I prayed that God would help me do the right thing, which I knew he wanted to do. I prayed for God to right injustice in the world. I prayed that there would be food to feed the hungry. I prayed for the safety of missionaries in dangerous places. In this season of my life, I had other friends who prayed, and their prayers became kind of a catalyst for my prayers and for a life of prayer in me. As I think back on this time, I see that I was growing in a lot of ways. I stepped out of seeing God as someone said last week, the cosmic Costco, I love that, to just meet my needs. And in a sense, I kind of branched out in two ways. First, I began to take into account God's principles and his ideas about right and wrong and good and evil. And secondly, I looked beyond what I needed in my little world to what he was doing in the bigger world and the needs of people around me. Although I was growing in these directions, this was a period of time when I became quite discouraged with prayer. Because I was praying for what I believed God wanted, the salvation of my friends and loved ones, safety of his children, evil to fail, right to prevail, and I knew that in 1 John, he said if we ask according to his will, he hears us and he will grant what we ask. I decided when I didn't see these prayers being answered, I became really discouraged. And I didn't stop praying altogether because of this, but I have to say that I stopped praying for certain situations, thinking they were kind of, I must have been wrong about what he wanted, or coming up with some little excuse in my mind that this isn't going to happen, so stop praying for it. For example, I prayed for a favorite uncle of mine for years and a very close friend. As I grew older, I realized that my uncle was mocking God a lot of the time, and I thought, no way is he going to humble himself and ask God's forgiveness. Similarly, my close friend, at every turn, would just turn his back on the Lord. And I thought, he's just making it clear. His way is away from the Lord. And so I prayed for them occasionally, but I did not pray in faith, believing at all. And then, miraculously, both came to saving faith in Christ, one after about 10 years and the other after about 40 years. And this lack of faith on my part and God's gracious answers to my prayers were, I see his kindness because it helped me to now become more persistent in my prayers for the salvation of other friends and family. A third season of prayer in my life I would call the use your power to guide me, Lord's phase. If the first season centered on my needs and the second on taking God's principles and other people into account, in this season, I really wanted to cooperate with God's will and his word. Partly, I wanted this for selfish reasons. I thought, if I comply with God's will and do what he wants, my life will be better. I'll be happier. So it wasn't kind of like because of who God was and his worthiness that I was necessarily seeking his will. To be honest, I thought things would turn out better for me if I sought his will. I needed his help to make decisions. This phase kind of started when I was older, adolescent, as I beginning to have to make decisions on my own. And so, like, about college and friendships and my vocation and if I would marry, if I would have children. It was during this time I sang the song, Take My Love, My Lord, I Pour, at thy feet its treasures store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. And I really meant that, but I didn't really understand at all what I was praying, even though I was sincerely praying it. During this time, in addition to praying for others and according to God's principles, I really began to understand a bit that what God was doing when I prayed was asking me to change, not to change all these things outside of me, but to really change me. This season of my life was characterized by too much to do, I would say. You know how it is when you're in college and you're working and then you marry and then you have children and you have all these tasks to do. I had little time that I set aside to spend in God's words, and I was bone weary most of the time, that when I started to pray, I would end up in sleep instead of passionate prayer. It was helpful for me during this time to pray with others, and I really see that as a growing part of my life, was to pray with other women, even with little kids crawling around on our feet, and you know, people getting hurt and all kinds of things interrupting it. And as I prayed with these other women and we memorized the word together and I spent time in the word, I found that even the tiny bits of time I had were reorienting my heart from all the tasks I saw around me, all the things I had to do, to the unseen reality of what God was doing in those times that had nothing to do with my tasks, but had to do a lot with what he was doing in me. It was when I prayed that I realized yelling at my children was wrong, you know? And I had to realize that probably thousands of times, you know? Yeah. It wasn't like I realized it once and I repented and smooth sailing from then on in. But it was often as I prayed, and then the Holy Spirit, in the midst of the yelling, would say, "Stop, Marilyn, stop." And I know that it was because of the time, even the little bits of time that I spent praying, that the stop of the Holy Spirit came in the moment. It was when I prayed that I realized that being offended at the grocery clerk who didn't even look at me through a transaction we had was sinful. That I was caring so much about me and not about what was hurting that person. It was during this time that I associated people I wanted to pray for with household tasks. Because the life of a young mother, and a mother, really a mother of anybody with kids in their home, no matter how old they are, in some ways they're more time-consuming as teenagers, I think. I realized that even though I didn't have long periods of time to pray, the Lord just, I don't know, I'm put on my heart to associate different people that I wanted to pray for, different things with tasks I had to do. And this was really helpful to me because I felt like, oh, he cares about me. He's helping me to remember as I go to, clean the stovetop, that there's a missionary in Peru I need to pray for, or somebody at church. And to this day, I still use that. I also gained a live-in prayer partner during this time, as I got married during this period, season of prayer. And praying with my spouse for missionaries, for our kids, for our family, for our friends who didn't know the Lord, really became a driving force during this season of my life. Even when we didn't have a lot of time to pray, to end our day together praying was a really special time for me with my spouse. The Lord taught us through prayer and through our life situations that he was able to get us to where he wants us if we will obey. That we didn't have to have some big strategy or plan or know what he was doing. We just had to be willing to be obedient. In many small ways, as we asked him for guidance and then listened and obeyed, he showed us where we needed to change. And as we confessed that to him and listened more, he put a spirit of gratitude in us. I don't want you to think that we were some great giants of prayer. We weren't. But God knew that, and in his mercy, he came to where we were. And each time, that led us to trust him more and more. As an example, when we'd been married about 8 years, we sensed that God wanted Jack to change careers. This was puzzling to us for many reasons and a disappointment to me, as it meant I would not be able to continue my educational goals. We prayed about this, and we both felt we shouldn't go into debt to accomplish this change in career. And so we prayed just simply, Lord, we're willing to obey, but you're going to have to send us some money. And this was, you know, a bizarre thing for us, but I'm just telling you the truth about how we prayed at that time. Within a short period of time, an old barn on her property was blown down by a freak tornado that came through the little place where we lived on the side of Mount Hood. This was so unusual that the newspaper came up, and it just touched down two places in our yard and about a quarter mile from our house. And the newspaper came up to take pictures of this collapsed barn because it was pretty interesting. And a couple days later, our insurance agent called us and said, hey, aren't you going to file a claim on your barn? And we're like, I mean, this is an old, dilapidated barn. Nobody thinks it's worth anything, in my opinion. But the insurance agent said, well, that barn is insured for half the value of your house. And so there was the money in our laps. Over the next 10 years, as Jack pursued preparatory schooling, then medical school, starting when our children were an infant and a three-year-old and going until they were teenagers, he was an elder in our church, and we faced many situations that would have been overwhelming if the Lord had not in mercy guided us through prayer and then through that miraculous answer to prayer at that time in our life when he knew we needed it. You know, now I find myself in a season that I would describe as, use your power to glorify yourself in me. I believe I am one of God's more stubborn sheep. I do not mean to me, but this life is hard and I am a sinner. In this season, I'm realizing more and more that I am not the center even of my own story. Prayer helps me to get out of the way of what God is doing. Prayer has become way less what I'm telling him about or asking for, and more about just basking in who he is and what he has done. I'm still a feeble, stumbling child, but prayer depends on his power and not on my skill or ways of going about praying. And I thought I would just share now some of the things that have helped me. The first is gratitude. Throughout the day, to just say thank you to the Lord for just the little things of life. I go on a walk in the morning partly because it puts me out in what God, he has made. And like Romans 1 says, I see his eternal power and divine nature. And like this week I was walking and I came across some honeysuckle, and if I walk by your house, I'm going to walk into your yard if you have something that smells good. And I walked up to the honeysuckle, and I was smelling it and just, you know, basking in how good honeysuckle smells. And, you know, the Lord just put in my heart, but I made you so you can smell. And so then I thanked him for the fact that I could smell. And I just find that this is what happens when I walk. So I try to practice gratitude throughout the day. Praying the scripture and the Psalms has been enormously helpful to me. For a few months, I read the book through the Book of Common Prayer's schedule of where you read some Psalms in the morning and some in the evening, and in every month you go through all of the Psalms. And you might not want to do it for all of your life, but it was a great exercise for me, and it helps me to continue to be in the Psalms as part of my prayer journey. Hard things have really helped me. Psalm 22, and that's, I think it's about the second and third verses, why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer by night, and am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust, and you delivered them. Hard things help us to fix our eyes where they should be anyway. And that has been very true for me. Paul tells the Corinthians that our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Answered prayer has helped me in this season of my life, as I've seen the people I mentioned come to know the Lord, and the answers to very hard things that I have walked through. Quiet listening has been helpful to me. This is something I had never done in my life, but to just sit down and be quiet and wait for the Lord. I've incorporated that into my daily prayer, is to just be quiet and listen. And I can't say that I have great revelations from God during this time, but it's good for me. And I don't know how it's good for me, but I just keep doing it. Hymns. I just brought this as a prop to remind me. But hymns, so many of the hymns are prayers. And I pray hymns, and I sing hymns. And God brings the words of hymns to my mind when I am wrestling about something in prayer. Prayer books. If you have found it hard to like find a focus for your prayer, I'm not recommending this book, but in this book, this author takes an hour and divides it into 5-minute segments and gives you a little different focus for each of the 5 segments. And the author is honest enough to say, maybe you can't do that, but do 1 minute and kind of go through this. But it just broadened my idea of how to spend the time I spend in prayer, not just in intercession for other people or supplication for myself, but to broaden the time I spend with the Lord in prayer. I also want to mention this little book. It's called A Diary of Private Prayer. It's written in very much the language that maybe people spoke in the late 1800s, but it seems more like the maybe 1600s to me. But the focus of it, I mean, it has been so delicious to me to read this in the morning and evening. I don't do it every day, but if I am feeling like I need to focus here and my mind is going... reading this book helps. It's only 31 days, but it's really been helpful to me. I always start my day before I get out of bed. Another thing that has been helpful to me with a prayer of gratitude and commitment. I said, Lord, thank you for this day, and I'm giving me, Marilyn, and all my sinfulness to you for this day to use for your glory. It gets me out of the way to do that, even before I'm out of bed. The other thing that has been really helpful to me is to really know that his work is not done. I know the Lord is faithful in all he promises, as the psalmist said, and he's loving in all he does. And I know that I need to be patient with what he's doing. Sometimes it's painful. Training is painful, and training takes a long time. Jack used to tell his back patients... tell me that with his back patients, the hardest thing for him to do was to get them to stop seeing pain as injury and instead seeing it as strengthening. And that is something the Lord has slowly drug me towards over this in this season of life, is that pain and things that I don't want to happen are not injuring me. They are strengthening me as I trust him. Paraphrasing scripture has helped me a lot. After Jack died, I just didn't know what to do. And so I started paraphrasing the book of Jeremiah, which might not be your choice, but it was a great choice for me, and it was really helpful. A variety of postures in praying is helpful to me, too, to sometimes kneel and sometimes walk and sometimes... when I'm very upset, which I'll tell you about in a minute, I lay on the floor and bang my fist. God made us each unique, and the things that he has used for me may not be the same things that are for you. But I know this, if you stumble towards him in life just a little, he will scoop you up and delight in your presence with him. This week, as I've given you this description, you might feel like this has been a steady course down a calm stream that I've been on. But I assure you it has not been that way. My choices, my inclinations as a sinner often make my course more like a boat headed over rapids or headed toward dangerous rocks. There are times when I feel I cannot pray and I have no words. And that's when I've learned to use the psalmist's or other writer's words. There are times when I'm so sure I'm right about what God should do, I just tell him, do this. This is the right way. This week, God brought a situation to my life where someone I love was in great jeopardy, and at times like that, I found myself laying on the floor, pleading with God like Moses, and I give God a nice long list of why he should do what I'm telling him is the best thing to do, according to his character, according to this, and according to that. I have a lot I'd like to say about this situation, I tell him, and then, like the psalmist, God turns my eyes to him, and I have very little to say. And in my quieted state, God speaks. This week, it was through a hymn. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought that though the wrong seems often so strong, God is the ruler yet. Is the situation resolved? Nope. Fear can still fill my heart. It does fill my heart. But our merciful God takes my eyes off the rapids and the rocks and reminds me that he made it all and that he loves me. And I think that there are times in our lives when it is for our good that God reminds us that we're like that little kid saying, God, do this, God, do that, fix this and fix that. Because it drives us, you know, then he turns our eyes and we see, oh, this is who he is. Like Job, who am I to be telling you, the mighty God, what to do? This exercise of trying to talk about prayer in the different seasons of my life has been good for me. One thing is, it has made me realize that it would be better if I didn't sit around evaluating my prayer life and just prayed. I realize that there is great comfort for my heart in the little interactions I have had throughout the days with the Lord. Repentance is my friend in this season. And through thinking about my life and prayer, I am really humbled at the mercy of God. This is the big takeaway for me through this exercise of thinking about prayer in my life. God is merciful. I am a doubter by nature, a skeptic, a person who is more readily inclined to think he's failing than that I'm failing. And, you know, that's such an arrogant posture before the Lord. But I realize that in the midst of all of that, in very gentle and extreme, extravagant mercy, God has met my feeble attempts to pray with abounding grace. So that's the four seasons of my prayer.
Do you guys have any questions, or if I can put you on the spot a little bit, that's okay.
Yeah. Marilyn, when I don't suppose anyone is fully prepared, but when you received the diagnosis about Jack, barring miracle, God, I mean, you received a terminal illness. How did that affect you at that point?
Physically, I had a heart attack. It stunned me. But spiritually, you know, he was such an amazing person. He just accepted it as that God would be glorified through this in his life. And because that was his stance, I have to say I'm a much feebler person than he was, but we never, ever, we were not discouraged. I mean, it was miraculous that I have to say, knowing who I am, I just, you know, my kids would probably tell you that I worked too hard during that period of my life, that I was, but spiritually, I just felt that I felt the same way. My the person who is closest to being my own child and not my own child died of a drug overdose as John was getting married. And John and he were cousins and very good friends. And as I walked down the aisle of John's wedding, I felt like God just went like this and picked me up. And there was total joy, just total joy. I can remember walking down there and just feeling, you know, that God had picked me up. And I think that God did that for us. But I said about the heart attack, because my doctor says that if he gave all the stuff about me to a person, a cardiologist, they would never believe that I'd had a heart attack. But I think physically, it was such a shock. I mean, so healthy that that my body did not do as well. Which anything else?
What was the first season?
The first season was take care of me, help me do, you know. I don't know exactly what I called it. All about me. Use your power to help me. Use your power to help me.
Thanks for those titles, Marilyn. Really helpful, and I think many of us can identify with that in some ways in our different seasons, or different for every person. I appreciate Marilyn's willingness to come and share. So thank you for doing that. So what we're going to do now is spend some time praying. We'll take maybe the last 5 minutes, and I'll kind of relay some logistics and some things like that about resources and different things. But what we're going to do is break into groups of 4 or 5. Don't do that yet, but I wanted to make sure we spent some time in prayer, and I want to give us a little bit of practice in praying in response to a psalm, since that is just such a profitable thing. That book is God's provision for us to give us language to speak back to him, if you think about it. And so it's a wonderful tool to use. As you pray through the psalm, don't feel like you have to say the exact words or kind of parrot it. If it prompts things for you to pray for, then that's great. That's kind of the idea. It's not meant to be kind of confining, but it's meant to be kind of a way to prompt us to praise God more specifically. And I'll lead us through that time. I'll give you a few prompts even as we go through the different sections, just to kind of help if you haven't done this before. And also let other people's prayers prompt yours as well. Be attentive to what people around you are praying. Also, don't worry if the little group you're in is silent for a while. For whatever reason, we kind of panic in that moment, like someone has to say something. You don't. It's just be patient in that. It's okay for silence to happen. It might encourage the rest of the group to pray or encourage more thinking about what we're going to be praying through. Also, if you don't feel comfortable praying out loud, that's okay. This isn't something you're forced into doing. So don't feel like you have to. You can just sit there and benefit from the prayers of other people. No one will think less of you for doing that. I'd encourage you to have your Bibles open if you brought your Bibles, so you can be looking at it. It's okay to open our eyes during prayer. So if you need that to kind of help. And as we go through the different sections, I'll just kind of say, let's have the last person praying finish up, and then we'll all kind of introduce the next section, read it, and then we'll do that. So why don't we go ahead and break into groups of 4 or 5, if you're willing to do that. If you need to move around, that's fine. And then I'll let us know what psalm we're going to be doing. We've got about 15 or 20 minutes, so not too long here.
I'm here. No.
From the end table to the, I guess, to the countertop, and somehow thought that one of them had.
I'm in the corner.
Okay, how are we doing?
All right. Okay, so we're going to be in Psalm 138. If you would turn there. Psalm 138. I didn't want to pick a too familiar psalm, and this might... So I'm going to break it down into three parts, so it'll just be about 5 minutes each part. And we'll do verses 1 through 3 to start. So I'll read those, and then, it says this. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. So let's spend some time praying about those verses. You could thank and praise the Lord like the psalmist does. Recall times of answered prayer that God strengthened you. So let's spend just a few minutes in prayer, and then I'll move us on to the next portion. Let me read verses 4 through 6. It says, all the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Let's pray and thank God when the time when all authority will recognize him or praise him for his attention to the lowly, or that he would root out pride in us. Let's be in prayer for verses 4 through 6. Verses 7 and 8 to finish up. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Let's pray for those final two verses. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for hearing us in prayer. Thank you for what you've taught us through your scripture and through the voices of other people in this class. We praise and honor you, God. We are so thankful, in contrast to the many other faiths that are out there, that you are a personal God who hears us and responds in prayer. Make us a praying people. Help us to take small, faltering steps, and honor those as we seek to draw near to you. May you draw near to us as you promised to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, well, in wrapping up, thank you guys for doing that. It may have been a little bit uncomfortable for some of you. Thanks for being uncomfortable. if nothing else, exercises like this get us thinking and praying differently than maybe we otherwise would. And so that's one benefit of that. A couple things just to wrap up our class. Some of you had asked about just ways to pray or ways that our church is engaging in prayer and just how that needs to grow. And so I thought I'd make sure of a couple things that everyone knew in regard to prayer. One, there is a prayer email list that we have as a church that goes out when prayer requests come in. But you have to let us know that you want to be on that email list. So if you'd like to do that, you can just make a little note on a sheet in the back, on the back table to me, and I'll make sure that your email address on that sheet will get to that list. Also, there is a prayer list that the church puts out, and honestly, I'm not sure how that gets out. So I'm going to figure that out and get back to you and let you know. I mean, if anything, I think this question really helped. Just there's maybe some gaps in the chain that we need to fill in there. Also, life groups are a great way to be praying regularly for the church and for the people in your group. If you're interested in a life group, a lot of them are kind of winding down for the summer, but they'll start back up in the fall. You can talk to me about that. I'd love to get you plugged in to a life group. And I'm also just exploring some other ways that we can be pursuing prayer as a church. That's not something that, thankfully, there's no unilateral decisions that any one leader can make in our church, right? That's a good thing. So I'm just in conversations about how to see some of those come to fruition. And so be attentive, whether that be things over the summer or a half-day prayer retreat or just some ideas like that. So stay tuned for those. I hope this class has helped you engage more meaningfully in prayer in your personal lives. I'll send an email around to the group just soliciting some feedback. It's always beneficial. And if you can just be honest with me about things that were helpful and not helpful, that'll just help the next class. Okay, so please do that. I have pretty thick skin, so I'm not worried about any critique that's needed. Please let us know. We'd love to grow in that way. Also, in the back, I've put together a list of prayer resources that the different people who shared and I have added to it as well. Mainly books that relate to this and some practices there, but make sure to pick one of those up as well on your way out. And thank you guys for coming and sticking with this. It's been helpful. I've grown a lot through this process and hope you have too. Just so you know, the next adult equipping class will be starting in the fall. So for the summer, we take a little respite. We'll start back in the fall. Typically, we address a doctrine in the fall, which is kind of what all of Scripture says about one topic. So right now, I'll just let you in on my brain a little bit here, and you can give me ideas, too, of things you're interested in growing in. But to do a class on the different attributes or characteristics of God and how they relate to our faith and trust in Him. So looking at the attributes of God, not just independently, but to see how those actually can result in us trusting Him more because of who He is and trying to make that connection is something I'm interested in digging into. But I can be persuaded by others. So if you have ideas for classes, please let me know. And thank you guys again for jumping in with this class. It's been a joy to be with you. We're a little late, so sorry about that, but thank you guys.